faded by the years. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer. And age to age and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace. Child of wonder, child of God, I've remembered you. Remember me. Skies. Remember me when you pray and tears of joy fall from your eyes. And age to age and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace. The children leave their Sunday school with smiles. Remember me when they're old enough to teach, old enough to preach, old enough to lead. And age to age and heart to heart, grace and peace. Child of wonder, child of God, I've remembered you. Remember me.
Age to age and heart to heart, child of wonder, child of God.
Remember me.
Age to age and heart to heart, child of wonder, child of God.
Amen. Well, amen. Remember me. Brother Joe, can we get you guys to remove this for us and give you a couple words here before we get the characters started? And so while they get that removed, let me just read a few things in regards to the movie. And again, the movie is called The Board, and it says the meeting has come to order. The battle has begun. The verdict impacts eternity. By the way, any of the children want to get removed on the characters part? This is just the characters speaking about their parts. So there's nothing eerie or scary about that. But if so, there is the movie next door. And it says The Board is a dramatic film that explores the inside story of a human soul, represented by a board of directors comprised of six members. One by one, the power brokers of the soul, including mind, memory, emotion, heart, will, and conscience, discuss and vote on seemingly mundane events until a coworker poses a dilemma with eternal consequences. And again, each one of these emotions, each one of these characters, mind, memory, emotion, heart, will, and conscience, all are played by people. It says, now the stakes couldn't be higher, facing a powerful indictment. The board's hypocritical self-defense is exposed as it wrestles with the ultimate decision every person must make. This short film, Fantasy, will reveal the reality of how God speaks to your own soul as you consider your eternal destiny. And again, I'm showing you the characters first because I want you to kind of be able to place their faces with who they represent. So when they start speaking, you'll know exactly what portion of the human intellect is actually speaking, whether it's mind, emotions, conscience, will, and so on and so forth. I will read some scripture verses right after the characters before we start the movie, and then we'll discuss it right after. The movie itself is 40 minutes long, and try to pay close attention to some of the things that are there. Of course, as always with movie nights, you can have popcorn, but you've got to make sure that you clean up your area. But please, no colored drinks in here, only water, and we would really appreciate that. Amen. So, Brother Serge, I'm going to go ahead and AV mute this. And we're going to see the characters first, and then we'll read something afterwards.
My character, Mr. Memory, his responsibility was just to recall for the board anything that had happened in the past that the board need to deliberate on or know about. But Mr. Memory knows what they've done in the past, and anytime they need to recall that information, it's his job to pull it up. And certainly toward the end, actually, Hart has suppressed these facts, these memories, if you will, from the past. He doesn't want to review them because he knows how painful they are. And Mr. Memory finally decides that, you know, we have to. I can't be intimidated is the word I'll use. I can't be intimidated by Hart anymore to suppress these really important memories that are going to have an impact on the board's life from now on. An old saying is that those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. And so Mr. Memory brings up some things that didn't go so well in the past or problems in the past because we don't want to repeat it again.
Okay. Can I playback on that?
Playback on that.
I played the part of emotion, obviously. And emotion is one of the fun characters. It really brings out what the person that we all represent, what we're feeling at the time. But I get to be very comical, and at the same time I have some scenes where I just break down and cry. When the gospel is presented to the board, emotion doesn't want to talk about it. He gets uncomfortable just because he makes him feel bad inside, so he doesn't want to talk about it, and he keeps changing the subject because it makes him feel uncomfortable. So he keeps trying to change the subject and talk about Rachel. I go through extreme mood changes and throughout the film that you'll see.
Right here is where I tore some wallpaper and I stuck it to mine's head over there.
Conscience was a challenge to play, first of all, because you have to decide how do you define somebody's conscience. And then once you figure that out, you have to decide how a conscience affects someone's life and what part does one's conscience play in their salvation. So once you figure all that out, then you have to decide how are you going to portray someone's conscience physically, emotionally, with your voice. Somebody's conscience has to make a decision about what's right and what's wrong with the information he's given. So that conscience is consistently tolling over what information he has to make that decision. So as you see conscience throughout the movie, if I'm doing what I was trying to do, you'll see him constantly going over the information that he's given. He's constantly processing, and a consultative processing, trying to determine what's the right thing to do.
No, otherwise, we see it moving.
No,
Mr. Will is the one who performs the acts that we all do. But he takes his cue from the board. He does what the majority of the board wants him to do. Now, you could, in a sense, say that he's basically a puppet. But Brett wanted this character to look strong, you know, strong-willed person. And so this Mr. Will is not going to let on that he's just basically a puppet. He is an independent on the board, and he sides more with Mr. Hart than anyone else on the board. Those two characters are closest. Now, what's interesting is in the movie, at some point, Mr. Will turns on Mr. Hart. And that is one of the turning points in the movie that causes Mr. Hart to be very alone.
That's Will's job.
My job? My job is to do what the majority of this board gives me the authority to do.
I did not want to be in the film. I didn't want to do it at the beginning because I was directing, but it created a whole new sense of emotion and a feeling for the whole film. It caused me to think a lot deeper into how everyone's part was supposed to be portrayed. Because you think of Hart, the chairman of the board, who everyone answers to at the end of the day. He's, you know, Mr. Mind leads the meeting with the facts and with the new information, but everyone's looking to Hart at the end of the day as far as what he's going to tell Will to do. With the character of Hart, early in the film, Memory talks about how we went to this funeral when we were 16, and immediately we see that this bothers him. We don't know why yet, but we see that he's crippled and that he's scarred from this.
I play Mr. Mind in the movie. It's kind of a stretch for me, because usually I play a comedic character. And it's pretty easy to get up and do funny things, you know, stick your finger in your nose, whatever. But this one, I had to be very serious. I wouldn't say the straight man, but I had to be serious. That's why I did the eyebrow raise a lot. But Mr. Mind controlled the meeting. He's the one that got all the facts from Ray and thought about all those facts and really got convinced, and that's what led him to believe. But it was up to him to get everybody thinking about those facts as well and how they're supposed to deal with that.
Give you a couple things here, just give you some definitions and some scripture verses that go along with these characters, and then we'll get that started. Are we ready? No, okay. The mind pretty much handles all the information of the board. The definition of mind means the intellect, the understanding, the mental inclination or purpose part of us. Romans 1:28 says this about the mind, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. When it comes to the heart and the mind, Jesus combined both in Matthew 22:37 by saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now to the heart. The heart is the thought and the feelings part of us. Romans 10:9 says this, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When it comes to memory, memory was the guy is recalling things, and he's the memorial part of us. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Conscience is the moral perception part of us. John 8:9 says this, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even unto the last. Romans 2:15 says this, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The will is the choosing or the preference part of us, the determining part. It determines the active options that we have and acts upon them. Romans 7:18 says this, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Ironically, the word emotions of all the parts of this mechanism called our intellect is not listed in the scriptures. They're seen, but the word emotion is not listed. The effect of the emotions is the affective aspect of our consciousness, the state of our feelings, the conscious mental reactions that we possessed based upon stimulus. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 doesn't say emotion, but it says this, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul, soul comprises your mind, emotions, and your will. It says your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So of all the attributes in our intellect, the mind, the heart, the memory, the conscience, the will, the emotions, they're all going to play a part in this film. And there's a board of directors there, and each one of these has input in regards to the information that Ray gives to this individual. Now, Ray happens to be the co-worker that's going to be witnessing to him. And after we're done, we'll look at some questions that we have in regards to the film. But pay close attention, because if you don't pay close attention, you'll miss some things that you really need to see. Amen. So we're going to start the movie now. If any kids want to be dismissed next door, they can. But like I say, it's really nothing scary in the movie, except for the music maybe. But other than that, it's just factual information. So we'll get this started. All of the inquiring. Why did the mind do all the inquiring? Search? Amen. Mind is the analytical part of our being. The mind processes everything that we do before we do it. Processes everything, whether it's reasoned logically or whether it's reacted to illogically. The mind still processes that. Why was emotion portrayed with a wide range of imbalanced feelings? That's exactly what our emotions do. That's how we really are without constraints. That's what feelings do. That's why Will had to put him in check. Why did heart have a crutch? Joshua? He did have sin. Serge?
Something traumatic happened in his life when his dad got killed, and that was his crutch against God.
Exactly. He walked with a crutch because he had been hurt. And because he had been hurt, he held on to that. And it became a crutch to him. That's why he always walked around with that crutch. That's why towards the end, he fell down without the crutch. And that's why when he walked towards the door, he walked towards the door without the crutch. The crutch was gone now. What was the hurt that he felt? Of course, Serge just said, Dad got hit by a car. Whose fault really was it? His fault. It was his fault. Why did he blame God? Why did he blame God? Why is it God's fault? Ms. Smith? Exactly. It's easier to blame God than to blame self or to blame my own heart. How was will portrayed in the film? Joshua? Was that? No, as far as the costume, how was Will portrayed? Dark. He had on dark shades and all black. Why was he portrayed in all dark and black shades as Will? Ms. Smith? Sin? Okay. What else? Why was it all black? Easy to hide. Okay. What else? All black. Yes, Ms. Austin? Who's that? Doesn't want to change. Amen. These are good. Anything else? Yes, Stephanie?
Because he was a sinner, and our sin is hard. You know, we want to constantly
defeat. It's bad. Still bad. Amen. Anybody else? Why was Will with black shades, all black, black attire? Yes. Amen. She's on to it. The will. If you think about our will, it's portrayed as having no emotion. It's factual. It's hardcore. It's blunt. It's insensitive. It's command oriented. It has no reasoning. It just does or it does not do. And so there's the black eye. No expression on the eyes or anything like that. Yes, Gary? Not exactly. Not exactly. The will is pretty much that. I'll read the definition of will again here. The will is the choosing or the preference part of us, the determining part of us as an active option from subjective impulses. And so it is that area that says, I will or I will not. Another question, why was conscience so sensitive? He was the guy with the white jacket. Why was conscience so sensitive? Serge? Amen. Constantly being pricked, amen. Brother Hall?
Natural bent is towards God. And when God conscience is sensitive, everybody's conscience is bent toward God. And he's saying, our conscience knows right.
Amen. Amen. And these are they're right along the same lines. Our conscience is conditioned by societal laws, but it's also subject to God's laws when confronted with the Word of God. And we're all made that way. We're conditioned by the laws around us, but God's law supersedes societal laws. And so when the truth was entered in, conscience responded to that. Mm-hmm. Who could see the light? Adam? Who?
Conscience.
Why couldn't Will see the light? He didn't want to. Jack Gregory? He said sunglasses. Amen. Again, conscience is responding to the information that it received from the gospel. And it superseded the other laws. And the others couldn't see it because that's not their function. Conscience function is to respond to God's law, to say, this is right and this is wrong. Yes, and so conscience responded to the light. He's the only one that saw the light. He kept saying, do you see this? And the other guy's like, I don't see anything. Your conscience will respond. Yes, sirs. Amen. Amen. Good point. Good point. Conscience was not seared. Bible says you can have your conscience seared with a hot iron. His conscience had not been seared yet. Why was memory sitting in front of a computer? Joshua?
Because he took
Amen. Amen. Good answer. Memory sat in front of a computer because everything was stored in memory, whether it was suppressed or not. It is a proven fact that hypnotists can actually go and bring out things that you have suppressed for years, and they can expose those things because memory has them locked in. Things that we often try to forget, memory has wraps on those. When memory refused to recall the past, who gave him the evil eye? Katie?
Heart.
Heart gave him the evil eye. Why did Heart give him the evil eye? Brother Wilbur?
He
did not want to face the past. Did not want to face the past. Amen. Heart was hurt and was unwilling to face the memory of the hurt. Now notice what goes along with that. Heart was hurt and was unwilling to face the memory of the hurt. Emotion was sad and hurt by it all, and conscience knew that they were wrong and guilty from the information that Ray had given him of the gospel. And mind just wanted answers to it all. So all went together, the heart, the will, the memory, the emotion, the conscience, and the mind. Why did heart and will work together? Because they were pretty much in line with each other. Brother Joe? Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be. So if my heart is so closely linked to my will, then they're going to be of kindred minds. Although they're separate entities, they feed off of one another. At what point did heart turn on will? What point did heart turn on will? Brother Wilbur? Yeah, that's part of it. But when did that initial, when did it actually come to a break? When heart turned on will and he didn't get a response from will that he was looking for. Yes, Joshua? Exactly. At the moment he said, let's go back to 16 years old. Will said, I have nothing to do with that. Heart looked around at the conscience. He looked around at the mind. He looked around at everybody, and he looked at Will, and Will's like, I'm not in this one. And that was the turning point where he was on his own, and Heart was all alone, all by himself, because everybody else at that point had agreed to it, and he was on his own, and that bothered him at 16 years old, and he was hurt from that. Why did Will take off his shades at the end? Ms. Smith? Amen. He no longer has to hide anymore. He knows he's been exposed, so why hide under the cover? I might as well just take it off. Amen. And then Heart went to the door. Why didn't he open it? Will had to do it. Will had to do it. They said this got to be unanimous across the board. Heart could walk to the door, but Heart couldn't open the door. Will had to open up the door. And so Will walked over at that point, took off the shades, and opened up the door. Yes, Brother Serge?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 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 And only Will could open the door. At the end, you find this individual and the big eye there. What had just happened? What was about to take place when you saw the eye? Anybody know what was going on at the time? Nathan?
His
He was getting saved. As he sat down with the counselor or whoever it was that was dealing with him, all this is being played in his mind. All the stuff about his dad, all the emotions, all of Rachel, and all as he's being dealt with about the gospel, sitting down with Ray, he's thinking about all that. And I'll be honest with you. I did the same thing.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes,
sir. I thought about all the things that I had done in my life. And man, I tell you, I saw that movie and I thought, man, that reminds me of me. It reminds me of me when I got saved. And so they had taken you out of his mind, taken you from reality and put you into his mind so that you could see what was being portrayed in his mind as Ray is giving him the gospel. And he's reliving all of this in that much time as somebody sitting down with him. And so when the eyeball, you see the eyeball, now he's thought about all that. Everybody's convinced, mind, emotions, will, conscience, heart, they're all on board. They're all in line. And he looks back down and he bows his head. At that time, now he's convinced and he's going to pray and accept Christ. That's why at the end you heard him say, amen. Because all the things that he had just gone through, he had just experienced, he's totally convinced that Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, is the life. He gets saved. And that's how it happens. Amen. And I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed this. This was a film. And the only thing that I thought it was just too short. it's 40 minutes long, but it seemed like it was only 10 minutes. And as I watched that, I thought, man, that is good. Now, I've got a copy for the nursery folks that we're going to let them take home and watch. But I thought this was a very, very well put together movie. And give me some feedback. How many of y'all enjoyed that?
Oh, amen.
Amen. It was one of those movies that I could sit down and watch it over and over and over and over and over again. We'll have 4 copies for the nursery back there, and they'll check that out. If you do want to check it out afterwards, you can do that. But I thought it was great, especially if you've got somebody that you've been witnessing to that you think this might be effective for them. Check it out. Give it to them. Say, look, would you know, I witnessed to you. Could you, view this, and tell me what you think about it. And I believe it might be a blessing to someone to get them saved. And they might see themselves in this movie. And I tell you, you and I as soul winners, as we're witnessing to people, keep these things in mind. People go through these thoughts. These thoughts run through their minds. I know they ran through my mind. All my sins, memory played them all back. My conscience convicted me, said, you're guilty. My emotions want to run away and think about other things. My heart was saying, we don't want this. We don't need this. We've had religion all the time. We go to church. We read our Bibles. We've been baptized. And I had all this stuff running through my mind when I got saved. And so this is a real accurate picture of what someone could possibly go through when they're getting saved. And so I appreciate your attention. And I told you it wasn't scary, but the trailer music makes it seem scary. Now, they did an interesting thing, too. Did anybody notice how the room walls looked? Katie? Amen.
If we've lived any length of time, that's what we are inside.
Amen.
We have damage, we have things we're carrying and baggage that's falling apart, and until we come to know the Lord, that can't go away.
Amen. And she took the words right out of my mouth.
Yep.
It was old and tattered because it was the soul. It was the person. It was them. And so inside, the Bible says, if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. It depicted this person as old and run down and torn up. And that's how we are before we come to Christ. And he's got to make us new all over again. So a lot of nuances there that most of you picked up. And I just wanted to make sure that we did pick up on some of those things that were in there. Because as the movie goes by so quickly, you can easily get caught up in it and miss a lot of those things. You know, initially when I saw it, it didn't dawn on me that that nobody saw the light except conscience. You know, I kept thinking they should see it, but then they showed different pictures where they would look and there was no light. But when conscience looked, there was a light.
Yeah.
until you get towards the end. Now everybody's seeing the light towards the end. But at first, only conscience could see the light. That's why he was peering through the little keyhole. And he's asking, do you guys see this? And they're like, no. Pastor White? Amen. 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 How about when they said it was a computer malfunction? What had happened there? Anybody remember what happened there as everything was being shown, Terrell? All his sin. They said it was a computer. He said, show us all the good things we did. And it went haywire. That computer went haywire. He said, what's all that? He says, all our sins. Shut that thing down. Amen. Shut her down. Pastor White. That's it. And it just went to show at great length that, you know, you want to talk about all your good works? This computer just went crazy talking about all the bad sin you got. Amen. So very, very good. Thank you for your attention on that. Amen. I really appreciate it. But if you'd like to see it again, please go ahead and get with our sound guys back there and check out a copy of that. I've got four copies again, but we'll give the nursery first dibs. And I really appreciated that. Thank you for your input. And we'll look forward to the next movie night. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. I look forward to seeing what God's going to do for us on Wednesday. Pray for Brother Hall's mom. She's coming in when, brother? Tuesday morning. Amen. So pray for Brother Hall's mom. She'll be coming in. Pastor White, why don't you come on up here and give us any last-minute instructions that we need. Again, the movie title is called The Board and made by Bethesda Baptist Church. And I thought it was a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Get Pastor White. Was that? To this one, The Board? There is? Oh, amen. I look forward to the sequel. It's called the what?
I think it was called The Will.
Amen. I'm looking forward to it.
Anybody see his life after this change?
Amen.
I'd like to see that. Just a reminder, before you had anything that you were eating,